Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it. Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Clash of the Titans?
Child me would have thought this was the greatest thing and would have ranked among some of my favorite movies.
Fair.
Adult me says, we need to cut about 25 minutes off of this.
Also fair.
And it'll be perfect.
Also fair. So, folks, thank you for joining us.
You smell beautiful.
For those of you who are new to our show, Chad and I challenge each other. Recommend to each other movies that the other hasn't seen. We watch them and then just kind of talk about them.
Yeah.
So this week we are talking about the 1981 classic Clash of the Titans, starring Harry Hamlin, Sir Lawrence of Olivier, Maggie Smith, Burgess Meredith, and a whole bunch of others.
And Ursula Andress.
And Ursula Andress, yes. Bond girl extraordinaire.
She was the first Bond girl.
Yes. Bond girl prime.
Bond girl prime.
Yes.
Bond girls, roll out.
So, Clash of the Titans is a Greek mythology tale. It starts with the king of Argos imprisoning his daughter and her son in a tomb, essentially, and casting them out into the sea because, well, she gave birth to a child from Zeus.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. That's, you know, people were petty back in those days.
Those days? 1981?
No, ancient Greek. Ancient Greece. Mm. Yes, they were still petty in the 80s, but different level. Different kind
different
of petty.
Different type of petty.
Different type of petty. So, Zeus taking this... Zeus, I took this personally. And has Argos destroyed by the Kraken... And the daughter and child end up on an island where Perseus, the boy, grows up to adulthood and is safe. We kind of watch this happen, but there's also the son of another goddess, Thetis. Calibus was his name.
Calibus.
And he
Calibus.
Was...
Calibus. I think he was the evil god in the second Indiana Jones.
No, that was Kali Ma.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
That's true. That's true. Yes. He was a spoiled brat and actually hunted the Pegasus to near extinction, leaving only, well, Pegasus.
Leaving just the one.
Zeus's sacred flying horses to near extinction, leaving just Pegasus. And for that, he must be punished and is turned into this... bestial character and therefore not fit to marry Andromeda, the princess of Joppa. Well, Thetis takes this personally because, as you do...
The Greeks took a lot of things personally.
Especially the Greek gods.
This is what I meant.
Yes.
I will be more,
yeah, the
more
Greek,
specific.
Yeah,
the
Greek
future.
Pantheon took this personally. So she, through shenanigans... puts Perseus in Joppa because mm-hmm. he's lived a life of luxury on a tropical island.
Yeah, it's made him practically useless in all things.
Yes, you know, where everybody runs around topless.
Yep.
And bottomless in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress.
Yes.
So he shows up and... Zeus wants to give him a fighting chance, so he bequeaths that he is given, you know, godly weapons. So he's given a sword from the gods, a shield from the gods, a helm from the gods,
mm-hmm.
all of which do different things. The sword is incredibly strong. The shield will save his life one day, as prophesied. And the helm makes him invisible.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he do? He puts on the helm, leaves the sword and the shield behind, runs off to Joppa.
So he can check out the bedroom of
yeah.
the lovely... fourth Mass Effect movie.
Yes. So yeah. When he gets to Joppa, he finds out that, and he hears the story of what happened, and that now anybody can marry Andromeda if they answer a riddle correctly. Mm-hmm. If they don't, they're burned at the stake, and the riddle is changed every time.
They're very strict.
Yes, they are. So, using his helm of invisibility, he sneaks into the palace and spies on Princess Andromeda while she's asleep, because that's kosher.
Probably it's pre-kosher.
Because that's cool.
Fair. Cool's always been around.
Finds out that every night this giant vulture comes and her soul lifts out of her body, rides off with the vulture to who knows where.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back, he captures Pegasus, follows the vulture. Turns out the vulture's taking her soul to Calibus in the swamps, and he is the one giving her the riddles, and because he's cursed to Joppa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while he's there, he learns the answer to the riddle because they wrote it down in big red letters and showed it to everybody in the room, and he's there invisible. She goes back to the palace. A fight ensues between Calibus and Perseus. Perseus wins, cuts off Calibus's hand, takes it back to the palace, answers the riddle correctly because he saw the answer, and yay, they're to be betrothed. Well, now they are betrothed.
Right. It's kind of an automatic thing.
Yes, it's kind of an automatic thing. They're going to be married, and Theotis is now upset at the situation.
Yeah.
And says, you know, you're going to marry them in my temple? I don't think so. She's to be sacrificed to the Kraken in 30 days, and she's to remain a virgin.
Yep, unknown to man.
Unknown to man. So ain't nobody having fun here.
I get it.
Thus, we get into the heart of the movie where Perseus has to find a way to defeat the Kraken and save the love of his life.
It is the big Goron sword quest.
Yes.
You know, go do the thing so you can go do the thing so you can go do the thing.
Yes.
And then go do the thing.
So they go seek a council of witches who says that the only way to defeat a Titan is with another Titan. And the best way to do that would be with the head of Medusa. Because even if Medusa's alive or dead, if you look upon her face, any living creature is going to turn to stone.
It's really, you really got to hand it to the camera people, you know, to take that risk.
Yes.
For us.
Yes.
So that we could watch through the TV.
This is true, yes. So Perseus sets off and they get to the island where Medusa lives, and through cunning chicanery and very polished shields, he's able to defeat her. More shenanigans ensue, and he is wounded severely and just barely makes it back to Joppa, but he's not going to make it in time.
Nope.
Andromeda...
He's exhausted.
Andromeda is taken... It's the last day. Andromeda is taken down to the sacrificing stone at the edge of the water.
See, this is not a joke. You know, every Grecian city that was next to the ocean had a sacrificing stone.
Yeah.
You know, just they built chains into it and shackles and manacles and just, what's that? That's a sacrificing stone in case we need to halt, you know, give somebody the Kraken.
Oz is brown.
Then you should clean it.
No, it's aesthetic, you see.
Oh.
Yes. So Andromeda is taken down, shackled to the sacrificing rock. The Kraken comes out. The end? No. Zeus has surreptitiously regained Perseus's strength, and he rides in on Pegasus.
And for a guy whose opening scenes showed him riding horses a lot,
yeah,
you really get a sense for how different riding a horse with wings is, because he looks awkward as shit.
Yes. So does the horse, to be fair.
To be fair, there is no good way of making a horse look reasonable while flying.
No. He destroys the Kraken, and everybody, all the mortals are happy, and Zeus says, well, my son did a good job. No punishment shall befall him. It is my wish. It is my decree.
He did it. So hands off.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody's happy at the end. And Zeus, being the kind and gentle ruler that he is,
yeah,
says that the stars will form the shapes of Perseus and Andromeda and
the vain Cassiopeia.
The vain Cassiopeia and even Pegasus. So, what did you think? Talk to me, my friend.
This is a great example of the old swords and sandals kind of movies.
Yes.
You know, not an epic. You know, it's not that. And I did look it up. It is the last of the Harryhausen stop motion movies.
Yes. Okay. Ray Harryhausen was a master of stop motion and effects back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
This, some of the old Sinbad movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, it was very cutting edge and very wow.
And it still is.
It still is,
That's what kind of got me as I was watching is there are things that you can tell that they're effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, I mean, the movie's 40 years old.
Yes.
You know, so fine. You know, we watch Jurassic Park now and go, So 40 years is... But to watch it and not know exactly how they did the effect.
Yes.
That's the telling part.
Yes.
You know, it's like, that water doesn't look like water should be reacting on this scale. So
yes.
This is probably a miniature.
Yes.
You know, okay, we get that. But then there's another part. It's like, how did they do the skeletons, or not the scorpions?
Yeah.
Getting bigger in this way,
yeah,
and that, you know, so on and so forth, stuff like that. And she's like, "This is very well done.
It is,
you know,
it is.
You can buy into the effects, even in the back of your head. You're just like, fake. Oh my god, this is fake. Holy shit, how fake does this look? But the better part of your brain is just like, shut up. This is cool.
Yeah,
let's watch this thing be cool. I am serious about what I said at the beginning. 25 minutes, it needs to cut out.
Yeah.
This is a great 90-minute movie that they've somehow shoved into a two-hour film.
Yeah.
So, bear that in mind. Some of it's just development shots,
mm-hmm.
And some of it is really awful dialogue.
Yes.
That could just go away.
Yes.
You need it.
I agree. Yes, that's true.
But it's well acted for a 1981 Sandals and Swords movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is the effects are top notch for that period. You know, we're not asking for much more out of that. I mean, it even though like 3 years later we'll have like Ghostbusters and so forth showing us what that type of,
yes,
you know, what the computer type stuff can start doing.
Yes.
This is pre-computer in terms of the effects there.
Yeah.
I mean, really, probably the last of the practical effects on this scale.
Yes.
You know, because then things are going to start incorporating this CGI, and even the movies that use the practical effects still rely on the CGI to kind of blur the...
Yeah, or the practical effects are a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gremlins, that was all practical effect, but it was on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
You know, you had a room full of Gremlin puppets as opposed to a very large establishing shot with a...
Giant,
you know,
wave.
Giant wave crashing into thing. You
or
know.
A Kraken.
Or a Kraken, yeah.
So, it's a little bit laughable.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, watching it, this is a great, you know, silly movie.
Yes.
It's not a comedy.
No.
It's not trying to be a comedy. It's being a serious told movie. But as an adult in 2022, I watch it going,
I would disagree with that a little bit. Yes, it's a serious story, but I think they put a little bit of tongue-in-cheek into it.
Everything's got a little bit of humor if you can look for it. But what I mean is, they weren't nodding and winking at the camera every That's 12 true. Seconds and saying, hey, isn't this silly?
This is true.
You know, isn't this funny? It's the, so fast forward to the part where they're going to cross the River Styx. They've got the boat with Charon and so forth. And he hands them the coin and, you know, Charon's missing a tooth.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no good reason for that. There's no lines. It's, you know, a bleached white skeleton. It looks nothing like a skeleton.
Yeah.
And so the 40-year-old brain in me just like, that's either an oversight or a design choice.
Yeah.
And either way, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Not intended to be funny. But funny nonetheless.
But funny nonetheless, yeah.
And so I think that as a bit of the history, it's a definite watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to have a friend who likes it to decide to decide to watch it. I don't.
Yeah.
If you're not like super into it and you don't have somebody around that is, it's going to feel like a slog.
Admittedly.
And so I had fun because Justin's in the room with me. You know, if we had to be in our own houses watching this, I'm pretty sure I would have stopped it about four times. Like I'd watch 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'd pause, go do something.
Come back,
watch another 20, 25 minutes. And like, that's how I would just watch the movie to make sure that I could watch it straight through. Not that it's a bad movie.
It's just.
Just that without somebody there who's really into it, you're going to feel a little bit, I should be doing something.
And even admittedly, for me, this was my choice. I brought the movie. It was a bit of a slog for me this time because I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just one of those, I forgot how this just keeps going. Stare blankly at the screen for a few minutes. Oh, yeah, we're okay.
We're at the next thing.
I will say I really did enjoy, as an adult looking back, watching the scenes on Olympus with Zeus and Thetis and everything, because watching Sir Laurence Olivier as Zeus and Maggie Smith as Thetis talking back and forth is just like, damn, they're good actors.
Yeah. I mean, 40 years ago and there's still that understanding.
Yes.
You know, it's like there are reasons that these folks are still looked on as giants.
Exactly.
It's a see it for me. Again, with the condition, with a friend.
And that's fair.
Unless you're really into it.
Yeah.
If you're really into those kind of, you know, if you like the Sinbad movies, you know, go ahead.
Yeah.
Dive in.
Even if you are really into, like, Greek mythology.
Yeah.
This is something that might be up your alley.
Yeah. It's something that, it's something you'll nitpick a little bit, but that's okay.
This is true. You know, my son is really into the Percy Jackson series. I'm not going to show him this yet, but maybe in another 10 years, it's like, hey, dude, if he keeps that interest in Greek mythology, like, hey, let's watch this.
Even five years. Would be like a, okay, because you about need to have a little bit of the, you need to have a little bit of the childlike wonder about it to be able to be like, okay, we're going to buy into this and some of it's going to look a little bit silly and we're going to buy into it anyway. And we're going to have fun. We're going to eat popcorn. We're going to drink some soda and we're just going to watch this movie.
And you see at least two sets of boobs and two sets of rear ends.
Yes. Which is another good reason to wait about 5 years.
Yes.
At about age 13, I'd say 13, 14, you're okay with that.
Yeah. So
it'll become his favorite movie.
Yes. So, folks, bear in mind, there is some nudity in the film, but it's tastefully done. And the quote unquote gore is very clearly fake.
It's like squeezing icing out of a bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, so the basic consensus is see it if you've got a friend that likes it or if you're kind of into that sort of thing, if you haven't already.
Yeah.
It's one of the classics. I recommend it, quite honestly.
It beats the heck out of the modern one.
Yeah. So I think it's your turn.